thrilled to have Jen Tringale back again. She has a word for this body. Y'all ready to receive it? Come on, let's greet our sister with a hand clap today. Give the Lord glory.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Thanks so much. Praise the Lord. Good morning, church. How's everybody doing? Praise the Lord. There's no distance in the spirit. And we are learning now how much we appreciate gathering in a building and looking at eyeballs. Amen. And I mean, thank God for the technology and the digital version of things. Thank God for all of it, that you can be connected to people in California, and so grateful. But how many of you know there was no expiration date on the verse when God said, don't forsake the getting together of yourselves? Amen. Why? Because there's a power in it. And we feel it, don't we? Yes. And so it's certainly a joy to get together in the power of that with you here today. Pastor asked me, is this your first in-person meeting back on the road? I had a couple last weekend and the week before. This is the third one since everybody, you know, kind of just tucked into their house and ordered pizza. I don't know. That's what I did, but... wow, what a joy. I didn't realize it was a year and five days exactly since I was here. And so congratulations on that big birthday you just had. I got to tell you, you guys look fabulous. When he said that, I thought, you got to be kidding me. And what is it, 30, how many years, Mary? 30, 31. I mean, look at the two of them. I don't know what's in the water around here, but I might have to have it shipped to Nashville, where I live. Okay, Kara, get that water before we go. Praise God. Well, there was just a real presence of the Lord here this morning, and I appreciate that so much. I want to honor that. There's a couple of things I want to just mention to you before we get into the Word. I do believe the Lord's given me a word for you and for the season that we're in, so I am very much pointed toward that, and so I'm looking forward to that, and I believe God's presence is here to anoint that so that's deposited in your heart for what it means for you. Yes. Amen. Yes. How many of you believe you're going to leave here this morning with direction and understanding about your life you didn't have when you came to church? Yes. Yes. Amen. I mean, that's what the Word does for us. Amen. So we're going to do that. I want to just welcome some dear friends of mine that came from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they're not going to like that I'm pointing them out, but it's too late. And but they are precious friends to mine and very highly regarded in the body of Christ. This is Pastor Fred and Cookie Brothers. They pastored Father's House Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma for a number of years. Fred is known for his dynamic teaching. He travels strengthening pastors and leaders all over the world. He was the dean of Rhema Bible Training Center, where I graduated from for a time. Hallelujah. And yes, give Fred a hand. One of the most dynamic ministers of the Word, I've ever heard. And then his wife, Cookie, is the CEO of the premier leadership Word of Faith organization, FCF, Faith Christian Fellowship International. They just had an awesome online conference. It was so powerful. And for those of you that don't know, Cookie is Brother Hagen's granddaughter. I know. I said, I'm telling them, so you better just get your pen ready. She'll sign your Bible. She'll sign right and wrong thinking. Yes, you can have your picture taken with her for $19.95. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. She hates, but it's precious, you know, because the legacy of faith and men and women of God that have poured in our lives, it's just special to us. And I hold them in such high regard and respect. So it's an honor to have them here. I'm going to just mention to you all a couple of things I brought with me, and then we'll jump into the word. I believe we had some of these when I was here last year. There's two books that are out there, and these are just resources to help you on the path of whatever God's called you to do. The first one's called Your Defining Moment, When Time and Destiny Meet. This is really a walk through discovering what is it God put you on the earth to do. And how many of you know we all carry a calling? Amen?
Amen.
Every single one of us. That there's callings that are called to go into every part of our world, not just callings that are called to stand behind these. And not just callings that function within the four walls of a church. You've got a call. And really, your life's purpose is to find out what that is. So then the next one that came out more recently is called Calling, Understanding Your Purpose, Place, and Position. And if you and I had time to sit down over a cup of coffee and could get into me just saying, okay, what is it that lights you up? What is it? How much do you know? And how can we get you into a greater understanding of that calling? This book would be that conversation. So that's available out there to you. This is probably one of our most popular products. It came from my own devotional life. It's a 21-day destiny devotional. And the Lord spoke to me one day, and he said, Jen, I want you to start speaking to your day before your day can start speaking to you. And it really was a game changer. I never saw so much activity of God in my life as when I started doing that. And he gave me specific things to declare over my day. So we actually pulled those from my journals and put those in here. So every day is just a short encouraging word. And then it says, declare this. And it gives you something to say. Then there's a couple of brand new messages that have come out since I was here last year. This one's called Restoration, The Art of Revealing the Fullness of You. So that's a powerful message. And then this one we'll touch on a little bit today. It's called Citizens of Heaven on Earth, How Your Authority Brings Change. If you want to find out a little bit more about what we're doing, you know, I don't know about you all, but this 2020 has really been a game changer in a lot of ways. And I believe God's intent for his people is that it brings clarity of purpose. And that if there was any slack, it jerks the slack out of us. And we get real pointed about that. And that's certainly been the case for me and for this ministry. And so I've really kind of jerked the slack out of our purpose. And that purpose is to awaken destiny. And I'm really committing, you know, the next decade or so of my life in this ministry to awakening destiny in all the places he's called us to do it and really reach this next generation. So if you want to be a part of that, you can grab this bright orange piece of paper out there. It'll tell you a little more about it. The last thing I'll mention is these six messages. This is a deeper study on calling, and it's on a USB drive. So it's six video lessons. They're just 20 minutes long, and it's just a deeper look. You can plug it into your laptop, go through it at your own pace. And this has really been sort of a catalyst in a lot of people's lives. If you've been stalled in one season, this is meant to sort of get you unstuck. So that is out there. They gave me our T-shirts. It's the last one. I think, is this the last style we have left? Our long sleeve T-shirts. Ladies, you can wear these when you run errands, and it looks like you just went to the gym. Okay? And so then you don't have to get dressed up to run errands. People go, well, clearly she's better than the rest of us. She's been to the gym. Okay, that's what I wear it for. So there you go. Thank you, Kara. Praise the Lord. I'm just trying to be a blessing, you know, in any way that I can. Well, let's get into the word. Can we pray over this today? Father, we just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For the opportunity to gather. God, it's precious to us, maybe more than ever before. And Lord, we thank you for the corporate anointing that is established here. Father, I bless this house and all of the faith that it's taken to bring Solid Rock Church to this point in the plan of heaven. God, I thank you for each person that's here and all that they've believed you for and trusted you to do, to bring them out of and bring them into, to get to this point in their life. And God, we stand before you at this place in time, God, awakened to your voice for direction from heaven. And we thank you for it. God, with all that's going on in our world today, we simply say our eyes are on you. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to come right now and invade the privacy of our hearts. Do what it takes to put us in position for all that you have for us, for this time that we're right now in. Lord, we're looking and we're listening, and we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. I want to just mention it to you this morning during worship. I felt specifically prompted by the Spirit of God, some things I just discerned even that were present in the room as we were worshiping, that as the body of Christ, you understand we're on a different track than the world is. We are in it, but we're not of it. And so what is heralded or broadcasted on the news is what's going on in the world, but it's not necessarily what has to happen for us. Amen. I'm all for being aware and not sticking our head in the ground, and yet I can't live my life dictated by what's being broadcasted on the news because I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. Therein lies the difference. Aren't you glad? Amen. There's benefits for being translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And so there's things that God will speak to us as believers and as the church that we don't see playing out in the world, but we can't hear what he's saying and then look to see if that's what it looks like in the world. We have to hear what he's saying and say, okay, well, that's what's happening for me in my house then, because that's what he said. And so the sense that I had during worship was the Spirit of God just saying, now at this place in time, even what's happening in the world, I am wanting to herald some things to you. I am heralding, heaven is heralding some things. And it reminded me of that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 8, the new International Version says, again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who can get ready for battle? Another translation says it this way, if a bugle call isn't clear, how would you know to get ready for battle, or how would you know how to prepare? So heaven is ready to announce some things or declare some things. When you look at that word herald, it literally means to hear a sound, to know how to prepare for what's next. And so when the Lord is drawing our attention to this, I believe it's a setup to tell us how to posture ourselves even this morning. To say, now listen to me. You have just entered a time where I'm going to announce some things to you for what's next. I need you to pay attention to them, because if you really are my follower, then what you're about to hear should dictate your actions. Amen. What you're about to hear should dictate the decisions you make and your next steps. If you are a follower of mine, if I really am Lord and Savior of your life, if Lord is a functioning position and not just a title that you say I have, then what I'm about to declare to you should determine the steps you take next. Yes, amen. 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 So isn't God so good to us? Because it's almost like giving us a heads up. It's kind of like when you're in class and the teacher says, now what I'm about to say to you next, you should pay attention to, you may see it again. Right? What is he trying to say? It's probably going to be on the test, right? How many of you were thankful for those teachers? Yeah. Austin raised a big hand. Man, Austin, that guitar solo on that first song was amazing. I was just worshiping, and then I thought, "What is Vince Gill here playing the guitar? What is happening?" It was awesome. I mean, the remembrance of that totally interrupted my whole flow, because That guitar solo was so good. Okay, so God's given us a heads up. If you brought your Bibles this morning, then go ahead and turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. And we're going to take a little journey this morning through what it's like building a work of God. I love that song that we sang during worship, and it's meant so much to me in this sort of pandemic season. It's your breath. Don't you love that? In our lungs. And we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. What a powerful thing to declare. What a powerful thing to declare. And do you know the songwriters that were inspired to write that song? There's no way they knew the literal ramification of those lyrics. Thank God they got them right and said, well, maybe we should say it another way. God sent his word ahead of time and said, no, church, start singing this. Start declaring this, that it's my breath in your lungs. And we pour out our praise. I take that literally. But I'll tell you what, you know, 2020 is a year like no other. I think one of my favorite memes, you know, that just give you a moment of reprieve, you know, through all this. How many of you have seen those on Facebook and stuff? The one that said, does the offer still stand to have my mother slap my face into next year? Because I think I'd like to just skip over to, in a year like this, singing that song, it just reminded me this morning, God, it is so literally your breath in my lungs. And so, God, may I be using the breath that you've given me to breathe to be living for the purpose you made me for. Amen. God, let the breaths that I'm breathing happen while I'm building what you've called me to build. Build through my life. Every day when I get up and breathe in and out, may I be using my breath to be about what you put me on earth to do. And that applies to every single one of you here this morning. I just recently had my 90-year-old grandmother come visit with me and stay for a week at my house. And I love her. I talk about her all the time. And she's just one of those women that's just lived like the lives of three women. She's had like three amazing, successful careers. She's done so much. Just an incredibly accomplished woman. Here she's 90 years old. And the first day we were having coffee, you know, that next morning. And I call her Mama. I said, Mama, what's been happening with you? She said, honey, I just want to know what God has for me next to do. It was very serious to her. I thought, wow, 90 years old, she's not sitting this out. There's no, well, maybe, you know, let the young ones build. No, my grandmother is living proof that the kingdom mentality is, if there's breath in my lungs, there's something for me to build. And here she is, 90 years old, looking for what's next. Why? Because she knows what kingdom she is of. And then, you know, it was interesting, the end of the week, they were getting ready to leave the next day, and we were talking, and she said, honey, do you know, I think I got some direction from the Lord while I've been here this week about what's next for me. I mean, just full of vision. That's the kingdom we are of. We are here to build something. But then those of you that call Solid Rock your home, this is your home church, God has called this church to build something in the earth. And it's affecting Stillwater, Oklahoma, but it's affecting this region. And it's affecting all the places that you're called to affect around the world. And so you're building something. And there's never a point of reprieve where your building just ceases and God just goes, good for you, good enough. Now y'all just camp out there till I come back. No, he's breathing creativity and vision all the time, so we must be. Amen? But I want to walk you through a journey of what it's like to be building with God, because I just believe there's some things that you've been encountering during this season that this word today is going to bring some clarity. And I believe through this clarity that's going to come is that direction for your next steps and motion to take place. Amen. There is a point that comes to every single one of us where God presents an opportunity to live out of that mentality, to partner with Him, and it requires our yes. 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 How many of you remember that first initial big yes? Yes. That God, I know Pastors Dan and Ann, they remember their yes. And by the way, aren't we just so glad that they said yes? Why? Because if they hadn't said yes, you could have never had the opportunity to say yes. If they hadn't said yes all those years ago, not only could you not have said yes to come and make this your church home and to find your place, you know what? I believe I'm here on divine appointment this morning. This is in all the places in the world I could be. I'm divinely appointed to be here. But if they hadn't said yes all those years ago, I couldn't have said yes to be here today. So what does that tell us? Every time you give God your yes, it's connected to other people you're called to affect. That's right. And so heaven needs our yes. It's not just enough that God says, I've called you to build something. It requires a yes. But then what I have found out, like many of you have found out, is that yes is a yes that I have to get up every morning and give Him over and over and over again. I had to give it to Him again this morning. And so it's a yes that has to keep coming. Why? Because you could get starting building with God and then get caught up in the push of the day. You could get caught up in even a level of success. You could get caught up in overcoming something in a season and get on the other side of that and go, whew, thank God, I think I'll just ride this one out for a while. But the Spirit of God grabs you up and says, no, 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 you can't stay here. I need your yes again. See, sometimes we get stuck in an in-between season. And we go, well, you know, that was good. I just did this and that was great. And I'm just catching my breath here. And you go, oh, absolutely, yeah, catch your breath. God's got something next. Yep, I'm just going to see what that is. And then, you know, next year rolls around and you go, okay, what was that thing you felt? Well, I'm just catching my breath. Okay, well, that's good. Meanwhile, the destiny of God, the time clock of destiny is ticking along on the time clock of your life. And God's going, I'm ready for your yes again. Hello, I got places for you to be, things for you to do. And your catch your breath moment has come and gone, darling. I mean, we're just being real straightforward today. And when I say we, I mean me and the mouse in my pocket. Yeah, so it requires our yes. There is a yes that is strategic. I want to say it to you this way. There is no neutral with God. Amen. You're either obeying Him or you're not. Listen, I understand those places that you can get to where you're waiting for things to get clear. And you know that God will have mercy with us. He'll start showing us something. He'll speak something to our heart, and He will. He'll walk with us, and He'll let that sort of marinate and just get comfortable because He realizes we're dealing with our humanity. We're dealing with our soul. We're dealing with our flesh. He'll do that. But I want to tell you something. That place does not last long. That's right. And you'll get to the end of that, and God will say, okay, there is no neutral with me. You're either giving me your yes and ready to step out of the boat and go into motion, even though you don't know entirely how it's going to work. Or if you're not willing to go into motion, what you think is neutral is really your no. I mean, it's rock'em sock'em today. Hallelujah. Opportunities are God's invitation for us to work with Him. And they don't come every day. They're gifts. They always take faith, and there is always a risk in the natural. And we've just got to trust Him. The only way to do this is a deeper, and I believe this is what God's calling his church to in 2020. It's a deeper place of surrender to God. How many of you have felt that? Total surrender on the deepest levels of who you are and how you think and how you behave and how you decide things. A deeper level of surrender is what God has called us to. At the core of our being, it's got to come to a place where we do not find our identity primarily in our gender, in our family background, in our town, in our country, in our race, in our past mistakes or failures. We don't find our identity from our knowledge bank, our reputation, or the opinion of others. Amen. But our source of identity comes because we say that we are a follower of Jesus. Amen. And what he says we do and what he says to go do, we go do. If you're going to build with God, you know this, that you're going to encounter something called opposition. And I want to just say this to you, that encountering opposition is not a signal that something is wrong or off. It may just be that you're dealing with something that was sent to try to derail you from building with God. Now, we can shake our heads and go, oh, yeah, that's true. But what happens when you go home from church? You had a great Sunday and you go home and you eat, and then Monday comes along, Tuesday comes along, and all this opposition starts kicking up. How many times have we found ourselves going, really? I mean, I thought Pastor said the promises of God were yay and amen. I mean, come on, God. I was at church on Sunday. I gave my tithe. I mean, I'm a good person. I mean, I sang It's Your Breath in Our Lungs. Even when they sang it the fourth time and I thought, dear God, we already did that. I sang it again. Really? I mean, I thought I was supposed to be immune to this. That's why I dragged myself to church on Sunday. And God says, did you read the book? Remember I told you that you have an enemy and he hates your ever-loving stinking guts? And that he would come to try and steal. What do thieves do? They show up to take things that aren't theirs. He said, I told you he was coming. If you're going to build with God, opposition is coming. It's not an indicator if you're being successful or not. It's going to come. So opposition is not an indicator if we're doing it right or not. Opposition's absolutely going to come. It's what we do with it. There is sort of a known thing about the city that I live in. I live in Nashville, Tennessee. And Nashville is really, everybody knows it as Music City, USA. But when you live there, Nashville is really known as a songwriter's town. And so, you know, a lot of times people will come to Nashville and they want to go hear live music and they want to go hear the up-and-coming artists. But when you're a local, the locals, they actually will go to these little restaurants and places where they have a songwriters in the round. Because it's really, when you hear a songwriter, the one that wrote the song, sing the song, or play the song, man, it's just like nothing else. And so there was a man from the pages of history that's not known because he was a songwriter, and yet he was a prolific songwriter, and his name was Martin Luther. And Martin Luther wrote this song. There was this phrase in this song that speaks to this. He wrote it in the year 1529, just a few years ago. And it says this, "For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe." You know what that tells me? This is nothing new. Opposition has been coming at those that have decided to use the breath in their lungs to build with God for generations. That was a line from that hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." So when we put forth an effort to build with God, we're going to encounter opposition. I want to talk to you about two of those ways that it comes. First, I want to talk to you about the internal opposition that comes. The internal opposition is not the one we talk about, because usually if we're stuck, we say it's the enemy. Well, the enemy is just coming at me, and you know, if opportunity would just come, if doors would just open, if people would just give me a chance. But do you know, more times than not, our opposition that we're dealing with is an internal opposition? And it usually starts with something like self-doubt. Self-doubt. And if you don't deal with self-doubt, it plays out in one of two ways. The first way that it plays out is it either paralyzes you in insecurity or pushes you into try to control everything. You ever walk into a room and there's just one person that just sort of comes in and just assumes the control of everything? They just feel like they have to boss what's happening even though no one asked them to. And they're giving everyone their opinion. Nobody's asked for their opinion. And any story that's told, they have one better. And usually people come back and go, wow, that's a really confident person. No, they're usually the most insecure person in the room. Just because they respond in a different way. When we don't deal with self-doubt, it either paralyzes us in insecurity and we wallflower and we back down and we go, oh no, it's not me, all of you. And that sounds real good and humble, but it could be that self-doubt has turned into insecurity that's paralyzing you from building with God. Sometimes we say, I'm just waiting for God to lead me. And God's going, no, I actually gave you the leading, but your insecurity is paralyzing you. And I need you to deal with that if you're going to build with me. Maybe some of us have fallen in that category where we're, instead of responding in a shutting down way, we just decided, this feels bigger than me, so I'm just going to over-control everything. And if I can just oversee and control everything, then that will stabilize my insecurity. Maybe the Spirit of God shining a light on that going, I need you to deal with the root of that. Because you're stuck in the path of destiny, and by the way, you're driving everyone around you crazy. Now, if you came to church this morning with something like that, just look straight ahead. Don't look at them. That your lunch will go a lot better. Internal opposition. What else does it look like? Shame and guilt. Shame and guilt. I'm telling you, we can breeze through days, weeks, months, and not address this stuff. And then go, God, what's going on? Why aren't you doing anything in my life? But you see, the thing I think I have come to appreciate about God the most at this stage in my life is that he is such a master builder. That even though his dream for my life might be 40 stories high, he's not going to let me start building those stories if there's a crack in my foundation. Why? Because he's a master builder and because he loves me that much. He'll have long patience with me until I finally get off the hamster wheel long enough to go, okay, God, what is it we need to address? And he'll say, oh, I'm so glad you asked. I want you to deal with this insecurity. I want you to deal with this controlling. I want you to deal with this shame and guilt. I don't think I have any shame and guilt. Have you ever stopped to ask the Holy Spirit? I'm not saying go and looking for stuff from 20 years ago. I'm just saying ask the Spirit of truth. He will say, well, actually, yeah, you've been overcompensating for this, and I want you to deal with that because it's time to build. I'll tell you, these things will set us free and put things in motion. So we have to silence the voices of shame and guilt, self-doubt that say, you're not enough, you don't have what it takes. We have to go back to the word that says you are enough. You do have what it takes. And by the way, if you'll let me show you these areas, not only will I reveal to you what needs to change, I'll empower you to make the changes. Come on. God's not in the self-fix business. He's not in the self-help mode. He said, I will empower you to make the necessary adjustments so that your wick isn't so short anymore. And the church said, amen. All of you are like, where were you during quarantine when I was stuck in the house with all my family? Listen to this. This is going to help you. The best way to stay out of traps of self-doubt and shame is to stay close with the Lord. Here's what I mean by that. Live your day. Live the day out in closeness with him. As you go about your day at work, when you jump in and out of the car, be mindful of his closeness with you. You know why? It'll keep you out of self-fixing yourself. living in closeness with him. Oh, God, I just thank you you're with me. Not just in the morning when you get up, but when you break for lunch, when you're in between appointments, when you get the kids settled down, when you've got a moment of reprieve, when you have 2 seconds to yourself, when you get off that phone call before you go to the next thing, pause and say, God, I'm just so glad you're here and you're close with me. It'll keep you out of self-fixing yourself. And he will lead you in the changes and the growth steps that you need to take. Another songwriter, she's actually from this current time. Her name's Brooke Ligerwood. In 2016, she wrote one of my favorite songs from the last few years. It's What a Beautiful Name It Is. And there's this phrase in this song that she wrote. I love this lyric. And it says, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. You silenced the boast. You know, I believe that's what the Spirit of God's calling us to. All those voices that have been cutting your feet out from under you, I silenced their boast. Now you pick it up and you silence that boast against you. Stop letting that thing run you. All right, did you find Nehemiah 4? I gave you plenty of time. Nehemiah 4, I want us to just look in these first few verses, because they're going to speak to this other side of opposition that's not internal but external. There's absolutely external opposition that'll come against you when you decide to build with God. External opposition, a lot of times, can be people that oppose you. One of my heroes in the faith, she is a woman that has stood in this pulpit many times, Reverend Kathy Mink. I mean, sometimes I almost feel bad for the devil. I don't, but I'm tempted to with her, because she just beats him up one side and down the other. And she taught me this. You may have heard her say it. She said, people that rise up to oppose you are those with the lowest amount of the word in them. Because when your word level is low, the devil can get a hook in you and use you to oppose somebody else. Man, that's reason enough to keep yourself fed on the word, simply because I never want to be somebody that the devil can just get me to pick up a bad attitude and cut somebody else down. And you know, if I'm honest about it, there's been times where I know that's happened. Man, I don't want to do that. Keep yourself full of the word, so that you're never a voice or an attitude that opposes someone else. But opposition will come externally from other people. They'll rise up to ridicule you, to reject you, to put you down. Sometimes it just sounds like sarcasm, scorn, a slam. They'll laugh at you, mockery. But this has been going on for generations. We see this in Nehemiah chapter 4. Let's look at this in verse 1. It says, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. That's the King James for he was ticked off. It says that he ridiculed them. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing now? Do they think they're going to restore the wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Do they think they're going to do this in a day? Can they bring these rubble stones back to life from the heaps, even though they're already burned up? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at Sanballat's side, said, what do they even think they're building there? I mean, a fox climbing up on it would break it down and cause it to return to a heap of stones. You talk about sarcasm. You see, Nehemiah, he was a master builder, but he did not take on a project that looked like it had any shot for success. When Nehemiah gave the call to build that wall, they had been trying to build that wall for 90 years. 90 years, and they couldn't do it. I mean, this is a building project that was like on Main Street in front of everybody. And for 90 years, the Jews would traipse out and try and cobble things together. And for reason after reason, it would just fall apart. Nehemiah, finally, he gets so tired of this, and the Lord speaks to him and says, would you pick up this project and build this wall? Can you imagine the thoughts that Nehemiah had? First of all, God, everybody knows that that project is doomed. God says, I know that, but I want you to build it now. And I bet Nehemiah said, well, all right, who do you want me to build it with? And God said, I want you to build it with the same people that have been failing for the past 90 years. I bet Nehemiah was like, you got to be joking me. Well, all right, God, I'll do it with those people, but there's no way we can build it there. I mean, it's failed there in that region for 90 years. So we need a clean start. Let's just pick up and start from scratch and build somewhere else. God said, no, I want you to build right where it's failed for 90 years, and I want you to build it with the same people that have been failing for 90 years at it. Well, clearly, God, you have a new way for doing this. There must be some new resources for us to build with. Maybe there's a wood we've never discovered or a new way for. No, I want you to do it the same way. In fact, I want you to take all those stones, all that rubble. I'm going to show you how to do it with that. Nehemiah hears all this from heaven, and instead of complaining or going into self-pity, he gives God his yes. He said, all right, God, if this is what you're calling me to do, even though we don't have the money to do it, even though these people you're asking me to build with have failed over and over again, and you're asking me to build in a place that's known failure for the past three generations, I'll do it. You see, there's always going to be voices of ridicule. In fact, there's always been sources of pushback whenever people rise up to build with God. Here's what's interesting. Sanballat was the governor of Samaria. That is modern-day Palestine. Tobiah, the one that joined in, he was the ambassador of Ammon. That's modern-day Jordan. Even today, these same geographical areas are still the ones that are causing pushback in the world and fighting each other. What's that tell us? There's always going to be sources of pushback. Right when you rise up to believe God for more finances, money's going to push back against you and try and get you to back off of it. Every time you rise up to step out and do something you've never done before, there's going to be pushback. What's heaven giving you a heads up about this morning? Don't let it deter you. Get used to it. What does ridicule sound like in good old 2020? Anybody ever heard statements like this? Well, who do you think you are? What do you think, you're better than me? How about this one? Hey, you may have had a good start, but it's not going to hold. Have you ever noticed the critics are always the ones that aren't doing anything? Isn't that interesting? Here's what I want to zero in on today. I want you to look at this response because it not only gives a clarity for our lives, but I believe it gives a clarity to what's going on in the world right now. Nehemiah's response is found in verse 4. And what we find there is the same thing we have found in all great men and women of God that we admire that have held strong through waves of criticism. Because in the end, their critics had to acknowledge the incredible things that they did. Nehemiah's response here is both spiritual and practical. It's not a response of arguing back. Hello. He didn't take to Facebook and say, I'm going to put you in your place. Nehemiah doesn't retaliate. He doesn't go toe-to-toe with his critics. And he gives no rebuttal, but his response comes from the kingdom that he is of. And it's the same kind of response that Jesus gave. Listen to what Nehemiah said. Hear us, our God, for we are despised. But turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of we, the builders. What a response Nehemiah has. Let me ask you a question. Do you hear what Nehemiah responded with? And then Do you ever think, okay, well, what about Jesus said, turn the other cheek? I don't hear that in Nehemiah's response. Do you? What about, I thought the Bible said we're supposed to pray for our enemies. Hey, Nehemiah, what happened to bless those that persecute you? Nehemiah's like, God, everything that they're saying about us, put it on their own heads. You see, Nehemiah's response was a righteous response because Nehemiah did not take any criticism personal. He took it as against God. Because Nehemiah's ego was not involved in what he was called to build. You see, the more free of yourself you get, the less hook there is for the enemy to get in you while you're busy building. Why? It's not about you. When opposition comes and you're staring at the gate of entering self-pity, going, really? I mean, I've just been so faithful. Come on. I baked for that bake sale when I didn't want to. Self-pity comes to all of us, knocks on the door, and it always serves up justifiable reasons why we're just being done so wrong. But self-pity is a gateway to anxiety and depression and cutting yourself off from the promises of God.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Nehemiah was so aware of the kingdom he was of that when all the criticism, when they lined up to ridicule him and annihilate him and annihilate the people he was called to build with, there was nothing in him to pull him down there and get in their face because he didn't take it personal. He took everything that was being said as against God. Nehemiah's response was both spiritual and practical. His first response was spiritual, and he went before God and he said, God, they are despising us. They are despising you. And so, God, everything that they're saying to try and tear us down, all I'm asking is that you be just and let their harvest come on their heads. He's the Lord of the harvest. We like to say that to the positive, but he's the Lord of all harvest because he's a just God. We're living in a time of great harvest, good, bad, and indifferent. For the people of God, we take all of our great harvest off our seed sown and we say, God, have mercy on us. But those that are using the breath in their lungs to stir up opposition and bring wickedness, harvest is coming on their heads. And Nehemiah prayed a very strategic prayer. God, let their harvest, let what they said to stop your work come back on them. Why? Because you're a mean, vengeful God? No, because you're just. Where did Nehemiah get this response? You have to understand something. Nehemiah wasn't responding out of a personal thing. He wasn't even responding just as a normal citizen. Nehemiah was the governor of Judah. He held a position of authority. He was looking at what was going on and saying, God appointed me here. This is my territory. I'm responsible for what goes on here spiritually, and I have to address this because the government in any lands first mandate is not to give mercy, but to bring justice. I'm going to say it again. The first mandate of any government is not to dole out mercy. It's to bring order and justice in the land. That's God's government. And so there, Nehemiah, he's standing in a dual position of authority. Not only is he the reigning authority because he's there on divine assignment building what God called him to build, so that's his territory. Do you realize whatever God's called you to build right now and whatever season of life you're in, that's your territory?
Yes. Amen.
You say, well, you know, I may be that, but not now, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just, you know, remember my 90-year-old grandmother? I told you, she told me when she left, I know what God has for me next. I said, Mama, what is it? She said, well, I got a revelation. I said, oh, yeah, what's that? She said, I'm the matriarch of our whole family. She said, I have all these children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and the prayers that I pray are the most strategic for them because that's my seed. She said, all of a sudden I realized that I can be praying out the plan for my seed and my legacy in the earth right now, and that the prayers I pray are the most powerful. Why? That's my territory. She knows what kingdom she's of. She needs somebody to give her a position. She's been a business owner. She was a woman of influence in the city, served on committees, a picture in the paper, all kinds of stuff. But that wasn't what gave her a purpose now. She got her purpose from the kingdom she is of. And once she got a revelation of it, she said, that's my territory. Once you know what your territory is, now you can go to work. And when opposition comes, you can say, Father, I don't take this personally, but you put me here to build something, and this opposition stirring up, that's against you. It's halting what you want done. Be just. Let the harvest of the opposition visit them.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we're living in a day and a time of this right now.
Yes, we are.
Justice and mercy. People say, but we're called to love everybody. I mean, what about we're called to love? What about, you know, Jesus? I mean, he turned the other cheek. And what about 70 times 7? All that's true. Listen, I believe as believers, one-on-one, personally, my call is to walk in forgiveness towards you and love you and to show you mercy. But when it comes to the kingdom of God and the work of God, if there's going to be those that rise up and oppose it, I'll love you, but you better get out of God's way.
Amen.
Why? Because that is the mandate of government. And the church of Jesus Christ is God's government in the earth.
Amen.
We're going to have to start seeing these things that are playing out in our culture through the eyes of the kingdom of God and his government.
Yes.
You say, well, I don't know. I think maybe as Christians we should govern a different way. Let me give you an example. Quite a few years ago, there was a terrible school shooting, and it was an individual rode up on a motorcycle to a preschool, pulled out a weapon, started shooting at kids in the preschool. Thank God none of them died. Many were injured. Then he turned the gun on himself, took his own life. Can you imagine if the shooter hadn't done that, and they brought him into custody, and now he's ridden this motorcycle up, harmed these precious little children. Now they have him in custody, bring him before the judge, and under we're just going to love him. The judge says, well, bless your heart. We're just going to have mercy on you because, you know, the Bible says forgive. There would be an outcry.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Why? Because there's something innately in us that says if there's government, its first mandate is to bring justice. And order. And then we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus and be merciful and pour into one another. But church, we have to understand the kingdom that we are of. Then I love the practical response that Nehemiah gave because he gives this very spiritual response. He puts it in God's hands. What does the Bible say? Vengeance is mine, saith God. Man, how many situations do we have going on in life? And God's going, if you would just stop trying to manipulate that to make wrongs right. If you would just stop trying to tell them off without telling them off. If you would just stop with your underhanded, sarcastic comments and give it to me, I could right wrongs. I could make things right, and you could actually walk in forgiveness. I'll tell you, that'll set some people free here today.
Amen.
That might be the only reason you came to church today. I love how he did this. His practical response is that after Nehemiah prayed, he got up and he returned to the work. I want to tell you something. When opposition comes, and you get yourself in position to not take it personally, and you commit it to the hands of God, I believe the kingdom responses persist anyway. Get back to work. You say, what is that? What's the last thing God gave you vision for? Whatever that thing is popping to the top in you right now, can I say this to you by the Holy Ghost? What are you doing about it? Yes. Well, I'm just waiting for something. No. What are you doing about it? Faith is an act. Step out of that place you've been and let God meet you there and put something in your hands. Return to the work. Nehemiah 4 verse 6 says, having prayed, Nehemiah returned to the work, and we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all of their heart. One translation says it this way, they unhesitatingly went ahead with the work. Unhesitatingly. You see, all that opposition that came to dishearten them. That's the purpose of all opposition, really, is to dishearten you. Well, I would, but I rose up to get involved once and I got horribly disappointed. Welcome to the club. Well, I went to do that once and it just didn't play out the way I thought it would. And I thought I heard from God and I might have missed it a little. Welcome. Who hasn't? But none of that is any reason to just sit back and let the breath in your lungs pass you by without getting busy for the purpose that God puts you in the earth to fulfill.
That's right. Amen.
Don't let that pass you by. Church, you are in a new era. You are in a new season. God has new things He wants to build and to do with you. And He's going to mobilize you as the body of Christ in this region. But that's not going to bypass your personal lives. He's going to motivate you as individuals. And you can hear the Spirit of God say, do not allow any real estate in your mind for sitting this one out.
Amen.
It's a tough call this morning. But the Spirit of God is saying, would you be willing to identify the places you've been sitting in neutral in and recognize that there's no neutral with me? I don't have neutral. All the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. You say, well, I'm just waiting for direction. He said, I'll give you the Spirit of truth and He'll show you things to come. Hallelujah. I just sense this reverberating, not just for us, but in the body of Christ globally right now. God's saying, church, you got to get out of neutral. You got to get out of just letting the winds and the waves of the culture blow over you and dictate your responses just as if someone would that didn't know God. He needs somebody on your street saying, hey, we're going to be okay. Second wave, third wave, whatever they say. Hey, we're going to be okay.
Amen.
You guys are freaking. It's okay. You're freaking out. Hey, listen. I've been praying over us, and we're good. I'm going to pray over you. What are all your kids' names? Give them to me. He needs somebody on your street rising up. He needs somebody on your team at work going, listen, I'm not saying be ignorant and be crazy, but listen, it's going to be all right. Why? Because I know you and I've got a covenant with heaven and He said I could walk in wholeness and peace, and so now you're my team member, I work with you, I'm pulling you into covenant with me.
Amen. Amen.
Fear tries to come on you, come tell me, we'll pray, I'll get it off of you. Listen, people are open for these things in ways they never have been before. What's been lying dormant in you that the Spirit of God has been pulling on you to do? It could be way out of your comfort zone. I double dog dare you to just do it. Just take a step. Just take one step. And you might rise up to do it, and some of that self-doubt or insecurity might pull you back. Identify it for what it is and don't spiritualize it. Well, I was going to, but I just don't have a peace about that yet. That's not you not having a peace. That's your, this feels awkward and I'm not sure I want to do it. I hope you guys like me because this is not your funnest message. I'm not going to lie.
I like it.
The pastor's like, You know what though? When I gave my yes to God, to do what I'm doing today. I've been in the ministry over 20 years, but traveling full-time with this mandate of awakening destiny. It's coming up on just 10 years now. And I remember when he called me to it, and I remember just saying, God, really? You want me to travel and speak? Like, I don't know about that. And I remember just making this commitment to the Lord, and I said, God, I'll do it, but here's the deal. I don't want to just go preach just to preach. There's so many people that are so much better at that than me. Highly skilled, you know, exhorters of the word. Your pastor's such a dynamic teacher. I know people brag about him all the time. But I just said, God, here's what I am saying yes to. If you want me to be in a specific place at a specific time with a word in due season that's from your heart, I'll do that. And so that's always the way it's been for me. I just really only have whatever it is he gives me for that moment in that place at that time. And I'll tell you, it requires a little bit more, to be honest. Because I got to be in position to hear. And then I got to say what I'm hearing, even if it might not be so fun. But I know that this season that we've all been in with the Lord, of him kind of jerking the slack out of us, every time I face a hard place and I do what's necessary, a new wave of freedom washes over me. Amen. And I'm so grateful for it.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe God's been dethroning any element of self-importance out of us. Just saying, God, with all that's going on in the world, let's really get back to living for what's most valuable.
Amen.
Which is building the kingdom of God.
Right.
And let's just spend our days doing that and walking in love with each other and loving people and dethroning self off the throne of our heart. Enjoy life, yes, but let's spend our days, like Jesus said, being about our Father's business.
Amen. Amen.
It's really not rocket science. I mean, you could really boil down living life for Jesus by doing what Jesus did. And you know what the Bible says? He just went around doing good. If he was at Applebee's, he probably would tip the server an extra $5. Why? Because he's just going around doing good. And if somebody was mean to him in the grocery store, he'd probably just stop and say, hey, I just really appreciate what you're doing. It can't be easy wearing that mask all day.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
He just went about doing good. There's something about just spending our days building the kingdom of God that takes care of a myriad of issues we think are so important. And boy, does our world need us to be about our Father's business. So I want to pray over you this morning. And as I do, the Lord dealt with me early this morning. And he said, I'm going to move and speak very clearly, individually, to those that are here and those that are watching by live stream. And he said, if they're willing, tell them, I will bring up to them the last thing that I nudged them to do. And he said, for all that are willing, you will leave here having been put in motion. Because he will call up. I just love to use that phrase. It'll pop to the top. I'll pull up that last thing that I stirred on the inside of you to do. For some, it could be a big thing. For some, it could be a small thing. But this was the secret sauce of Jesus' ministry. His mama told us. What was it? Whatever he tells you to do, just do it. And if you do,
thank you, Lord.
It'll be crazy wild if you just do it. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's pray. Hallelujah. Oli ada vidiada bakira barossa. O suriana makiriada bridavadiste. Father, we come before you and we thank you for permeating the atmosphere with your wonderful presence, Lord. God, truly for such a time as this have we come. And Lord, as we gather here today, we sense your precious Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I stand upon the word that you directed me with, and I've announced it as you told me to do. And the rest is up to you, Spirit of Truth. And I release you, Holy Spirit, to all those within the sound of my voice to receive direction from heaven. Holy Spirit, great orchestrator of the plans of heaven, paint the picture on the inside of our hearts right now. Breathe the fresh wind of your Spirit for next steps that we are to take. Masiate kialere fascite, ira bakari ere bekita, mandoro veriade bere bere vasidia, iriade manamba, peleade vidiade bekidiade manando, italiade bakata. Oh, we thank you. Oh, we thank you. Oh, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. To you, God, we surrender our lives. God, how could we not when you gave us life? When it is truly your breath in our lungs. God, how could we not live to fulfill your purpose for us? And we surrender to it, spirit, soul, and body. Father, whatever these next steps are for us to take, though they might seem hard to us and hard on us, we will not consider them, Lord, without taking into account your empowerment to do what you're showing us to do. You empower us to do bold things, to do necessary things, to do difficult things, to do what would even seem like impossible things, to confront what we must confront for the sake of moving on. But God, we don't do these things in our own strength. We do them endowed with power from on high.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And so right now, God, we receive an endowment of power from on high to move us forward. I want you to just stretch out your hands and just receive this. Hallelujah. Isoli ari bikia. Yesu kudu gorofe. Iya hasu kuno manti ishtigita lete imba. Brekrita leda babadishta. An empowerment to move forward in this time. For it is a different time and it takes a special grace, masukita, to run this section of this race. Oh, but you will see with eyes of faith, you will hear with ears of the Spirit, and your feet will move swiftly. Hallelujah. You will navigate places where it seems there's no other step to take. Oh, but suddenly I will rise up in you and I will create. I said, I will create. So don't go motionless because it looks like there's nowhere to step. For if you will act in faith, I will create the place. My, my, my. Oh, yeah. Open places up. I'll open places up where no one's gone before. I'll call you to go and I'll open it up. We thank you, Lord. 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 We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Now I want you to do this. Just put your hand on your heart and say, Father,
I receive wisdom.
I take your wisdom
to move ahead
in your plans
and in your ways.
I see next steps to take.
And I move accurately
by your Spirit
in Jesus' name.
I have no fear of the future.
I move into the future.
Because you've been there ahead of me. And I give you praise.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Come on, let's just thank him. Father, we thank you. And we magnify you. We thank you and we magnify you. And we worship you. Oh, yadavidiyada kidiyadabidabakiya. Go, wisdom to the governor of Oklahoma now. Now, wisdom of heaven, counsel of heaven, flow by your Spirit to his inner man. And governor, hear clear, outside of man's demands, hear now the words of wisdom. Find him, find him, find him, and take root in his heart. Hasuta dada suta dada suta. And we block the path of wrong counsel now, that it will fall on deaf ears. And hidden agendas will steer clear and not reach his desk. Sukadala vida veda vida vada vida voda boda. Oh, church, pray. Mesoda vida vada vida boda vida bada yada bada 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 bada. Maka do go. Have entrance now. Have entrance now from heaven unto his room. Have entrance now. Make room. We make room. Mada boda bida bada vida bida bada bida boda bida bada. Mediata bit a bit of a dia, 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 a bit of a dia. And I'm on a bit of bada, bit of bada. We draw a circle around this governor now. We draw a circle around in the spirit now. A hedge of protection. A hedge of protection. Kitigada, visita, leda pasiku to go ocha kitu lupo su to tofa si putama. Break it above a sukutuka ombe. Break that. Alliance in Jesus' name. It falls, it dissipates. The beginning of the agreement comes to naught. Nesikenya. And those counsel be replaced. I said be replaced. I call for the vacating of those seats. And you be replaced now with integrity and those that cannot be bought. Thank you, Lord. The blood of the Lamb over the courts of Oklahoma. The blood of the Lamb over the Capitol, over the state capitol. The blood. In Jesus' name. We cut it off. Those assignments from the kingdom of darkness, I cut you off. You retract. You go back. In the name that is above every name, I call you down. You will not operate now. In the name of Jesus. Not in this state.
You have no entrance here. You'll find there's no access here. Be done. Be done. Be done. Be done. Here in the earth as it is in heaven only. Be done. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Boy, aren't we thankful how God just shows us, gives us a heads up, you know? And that just came in there. It surprised me, maybe as much as it surprised you. But the Lord is really taking care of business. And he's, once again, got his church's attention to conduct business. Amen. So don't be surprised at times when you gather and all of a sudden, pastor will come and say, now we need to do this and we need, just rally up behind him and get your supply of the Spirit behind him and take authority over that. Why? Because this is your territory. It's your territory. See, I can come in and speak to that out of the office I stand in only because your pastor offered me a place to speak from because this is his place of authority. So I can do that from that, but see, I don't live here. This is not my state, but you do. It's yours. This is your state. You ought to get real territorial about that. If you get a weird, wonky idea about somebody moved in your neighborhood, you love them, treat them like Jesus, you might just want to go to prayer over that and say, anything foul of the enemy that tries to operate through, I shut that down. And I can. Why? I live here. I live here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you. We seal it in your spirit, all that's done. Thank you for the great state of Oklahoma that's leading as the shining beacon it always has. Thank you, Father, for Solid Rock Church and the shining beacon that it has always been and continues to be. We thank you, Lord, that this house is moving forward. Oh, it's not missed a step. It's moving forward. And Father, plans are unfolding and right on time. We thank you, Lord, for the synchronization of the steps of action that take place even this year and over into 2021. Wow, 2021 for this house. So much to be done in 2021. Wow, wow, wow. And so it'll happen now. But God, you're giving us this chance to shore things up, to get ready and get into position for the work that's to be done. And we thank you for it. We love you, God, and we bless your wonderful name in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you, church. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. Excellent word. Excellent word. Spoke to my heart.